and I've got some bad news. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say that? Normally, when you hear somebody say something like that, it kind of ends up being bad news, right? I don't know about you. Sometimes they say, which do you want to hear first? And I know whenever I've been given that choice, I'm like, okay, let's get over the bad stuff. Tell me the bad, then tell me the good. Aren't you kind of like that? For instance, some of you are looking at me kind of like, huh? People ever say, like, the bad news is that you have a cavity. But the good news is you don't have to have your tooth pulled. We can just drill and fill. So that's kind of good news, bad news. Or, for instance, the bad news is that you are fired. But the good news is there's lots of jobs in our area. You know, you hear things like that. Today we're going to be talking about, in the message, we're going to talk about some bad news for the lost, and then we're going to talk about some good news for the saved and the lost. So I hope that you're tuned in today, because we all need to hear some good news. We're going to get through the bad news, but then we're going to get to the good news. You ready for that? We've been talking about the story of Noah's Ark, its similarities to salvation. Its similarities to salvation. And I'm going to read chapter 7, verses 1 to 16, as I have the last several times. As we continue in this sermon series, we've been looking at Noah's Ark and then specifically looking at the similarities. The Bible, in I believe 1 Peter, talks about the similarities. This is kind of like a picture of salvation. So we're looking at it to say, how is it like salvation today? Now, I wouldn't just do that on my own, but since Scripture opens that door and says basically it's like a picture of salvation, we've been looking at that. So if you'd follow along in chapter 7 of Genesis, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two into the ark, into Noah, that is, into the ark, and the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, that is, and the Lord shut him in. As we've been looking at this subject, I want to start first of all with the bad news, all right? What do we see in this story that is bad news for the lost? Well, the point today is, as we look at 2 points this morning, those who refused to believe God and entered the ark were totally destroyed. Those who refuse Jesus today will be totally destroyed forever. You see, where does that say that in Scripture? Well, if you look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, Notice what it says in Genesis chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. It even says that in verse 5 of that chapter, I don't have that reference in to put up on the screen, but it says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only evil continually. Then you'll look at one of the verses in the text that we read in chapter 4. It says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. You see, everybody, for 120 years, Noah preached the message that, guess what? God is real. Guess what? The flood is coming. And they're saying, well, number one, you don't live near water. Number two, it's never rained before, so how are you're just crazy. And that's what people thought. And as I've said before, I can see Noah building on this ark. I picture in my mind him on a great big old ladder, because they had to have some great big old ladders. I mean, here in this church, sometimes when we got to do stuff up really high, we need some great big old ladders. But imagine something way taller than this. So a great big old ladder, and he's up there working on the ark, and I can see people all around him ridiculing him, can't you? And say, boy, what an idiot. My goodness, he's building a great big ark. Aren't you just wasting your time? You're a fool. Can you imagine all the titles and all the names that he got called? But you know what? I think he took it pretty well, because he kept building. And I think he turned around to these people. I can just picture him. I don't have a verse that says he was on a ladder and he turned around. But I can just picture him in my mind's eye turning around to these people and saying, you know what? You need to trust God. You need to trust God. You better get on this ark so that you can save yourself from this flood that's coming. As I've said before, a lot of people get really confused about how people were saved in the Old Testament. They say they were saved by keeping the law. No, they weren't. If they could be saved by keeping the law, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Those in the Old Testament were saved by putting their faith in God. Guess what? People in the New Testament are saved by putting their faith in God. Now, we know the whole story. We know that Jesus came. But at that point, they knew, or they needed to know, that there's a God. And he's sending a flood, and they needed to trust him. But can you imagine? Think about this for just a moment. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights straight. And the fountains of the deep broke up, and there was water coming from underneath. There was water coming, rain for the first time for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine? Can you imagine inside that ark? Can you imagine hearing the screams and the cries of those that were perishing? You know, these are the people for 120 years that Noah was trying to convince that you've got to trust God. You got to trust what's happening. You got to trust that the flood is coming. You got to listen to God and acknowledge, first of all, there is a God. You got to listen. Can you imagine as the rain started coming and these people started saying, whoa, it's raining for the first time. And whoa, The earth is breaking up and water's coming from underneath too. It's possible that they heard some of them cries. It's also possible that some of them may have been yelling out saying, Noah! Noah! Open the door! Wanted to get in. But it was too late. We're going to look at this even later, but you got to notice that God closed the door. The opportunity ended, as we preached before in similarities, that it's a limited time offer. So is salvation. But you know what? Those people perished because they would not trust God. You say, what about us today? What about us today? Do you know if someone leaves this world without trusting Jesus as their Savior, without it, trusting God and the story of the Bible and how Jesus died upon the cross as the Son of God to pay for our sins and then resurrected back to life. If we leave this world without trusting that story and putting our heart and life into that, guess what? We will perish forever and ever and ever in a place called hell. I've often thought that, you know what, I wish that there was a trap door to hell that we could open up. You know, I tell you what, if there was a trap door to hell and we could open it up, we open up, take one look at hell, I guarantee that you and I would be different people. I guarantee that you and I would be more about the business. I guarantee you that if you're a child of God, God would no longer be a distraction. God would be the primary part of your life. I don't want one single soul to go to hell. But the truth of the Bible is those who reject God, those that reject Jesus and what he did for them will spend eternity and they will perish forever and ever and ever in torment in a place called hell. That place will eventually be specifically, it's called the lake of fire. Now, for a child of God, that ought to make us very grateful for what Jesus did for us. For those that have trusted Jesus already, like, thank you, I'm not going to perish. I'm not going to perish. But for those that are lost, should there be anybody listening in today, or should there be anyone here today that says, you know, I'm really not sure where I'm going to spend eternity. Trust me, you do not want to spend eternity in a place separated from God, prepared for the devil and his demons forever and ever and ever and ever. You see, one similarity that we see here, and this is the bad news for the lost. The bad news is if you don't trust Jesus, just like the people that did not trust God, that a flood was coming, you will spend forever and ever and ever in a place of torment. You will perish forever. In Revelation chapter 20, I want to read a little bit of this. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 to 15. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 10 to 15. I'm not sure that we hear a whole lot about hell anymore. I'm not sure. I know for a fact that a lot of your preachers on television avoid that on purpose, because they don't want to upset anybody. They don't want anybody to think about hell. They're more interested in talking about all that God is going to do for you. And I'm thankful that God does a lot for me. And in fact, every good thing comes from God, and I'm thankful for that. But preachers who no longer preach on hell, guess what? That's a mistake. Guess what? That's sinful not to preach the whole counsel of God. I mean, what was preachers called? Y'all know, what was a preacher called? He was called a hell, fire, and brimstone preacher, right? We used to talk more about hell. Hell is real. And if you and I as Christians get the concept of how bad hell is going to be, I've seen some movie depictions of hell in some different movies, and man, it was pretty horrible and disturbing. And can I tell you that I imagine it's not even a fraction of what hell's really going to be like. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Now, you're going to see the great white throne judgment. This is after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This is way down the pike, as far as at least 1,000 years down the pike. After the 1,000-year reign, the Lord could come back at any moment. That's the rapture. But you fast forward to some events that follow that. This is after the thousand-year reign, and God puts down the little rebellion at the end of the thousand-year reign. And here, notice, the devil was released for 1,000 years. Remember that? And it says, but the devil and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now notice the wording here. Where the beast and the false prophet are. Where the beast and the false prophet are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, some people believe that hell is just an instant. You know, at this point, we're going to see here in just a moment, just like for the Christian at the rapture, their soul and spirit is going to be united with a body that lives forever. But they're going to experience eternal death. And some people would say, you know what's going to happen when they're cast into the lake of fire? Just poof, and that's it, and we go to nothingness. But did you catch the wording of that? The beast and the false prophet, which was cast in earlier, are still there, being punished. And it says in that verse, it says that shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'll not turn there at this point, but in Matthew 25, it talks about everlasting fire in the judgment of the sheep and the goats, and how the goats are going to experience everlasting fire. For those that believe that hell is just for a moment, you need to look at Scripture. Because the Bible says that hell is forever. And again, that ought to make you and I almost break into the hallelujah chorus. It ought to make you and I grateful that we're not going to spend even a minute in hell. But it also ought to motivate us to tell more people about Jesus. Man, there's a lot of lost people out there. Have you noticed? Have you been to a big gathering of people? You know, maybe at a family reunion, and you look at your own family and say, wow. and you go out maybe to the farmer's market, maybe to a fair or some sort, and you look around and you notice the people, and there's a whole lot of lost people around us. Man, some of them, you got to look at them a few minutes just to figure out what's going on. Seriously. They're looking for something to give them peace and joy in their heart and life. And it's only going to be found in Jesus. And if they don't figure that out, if they don't hear that from you and I, they're not going to hear that on the 6 o'clock news. They're not going to hear that in public school unless they have a teacher that talks to them or a schoolmate that may talk to them. You and I need to be motivated by the thought of hell to tell people you don't want to go there. Believe me, a lot of our hesitancies and a lot of our fears would disintegrate if we realize how bad hell will be. My main point today is just to say it is forever and ever. And we could spend a lot of time looking at that. But today, the main point is hell is forever and ever. You see, those in Noah's day perished because they didn't trust God. Those today who do not trust God in salvation, they will perish forever and ever and ever. And I'm going to read a little bit more about it, then I'll move on to the next point. It says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm thankful that when I trusted Jesus, my name was recorded in the Lamb's book of life. Those who refused to believe God and enter the ark were totally destroyed. Those who refuse Jesus will be totally destroyed forever and ever and ever. I'll say one more time. That ought to make a Christian very thankful that they know Jesus. But that also ought to make a Christian say, you know what? I'm really wasting my time in a whole lot of things of this world. I need to get serious about my loved ones. I need to get serious about my coworkers. I need to get serious about my classmates. I need to be serious about the people that I encounter day after day after day that do not know Jesus. Because if they don't trust Him, if I don't tell them and they don't trust Jesus, they're going to spend forever and be destroyed forever and ever and ever in a place called hell. You say, preacher, I really don't want to hear that. Well, that's all right. It's part of the counsel of God. It's in the book. And if it's in the book, it should be preached. Amen? So point number one today, those who refuse to believe God and enter the ark were totally destroyed. Those who refuse Jesus will be totally destroyed forever. For the lost, that's the bad news. But can I move on to the good news? The next similarity between the story of Noah and salvation. Life and safety was given to Noah and his family. For those that know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, guess what we're going to experience? Life and safety forever and ever and ever. Look at Genesis chapter 8. I got to turn back to Genesis as well, but turn back to Genesis chapter 8 and look. Through all this storm, through all of the that time on the ark, close, right around a year total time on the ark, notice that in Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Notice what it says. Genesis chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Notice, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his son's wife with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth, what's it say? Out of the ark. Can you say that with me? I'm afraid some of you are falling asleep. Can you say that with me? Out of the ark. Through all of that time, I'm sure that was a challenging time for Noah and his family. Would you agree with that? I mean, God gave him grace, God gave him mercy, and guess what? Through all the difficulties of that time on the ark, with all the feeding of the animals and all the things that had to be done, God delivered them from the flood. They went off the ark. Notice chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You see, for Noah and his family, they trusted God. They trust what was coming up. And they said, we're going to get on the ark. They saw safety and they saw deliverance. Now, again, this is the good news. What about us today? You know what? When we trust Jesus as our Savior, guess what we are given? We are given life, and we are given safety. You know, we live in a day and age, there's not too many places you can feel real safe anymore. Now, some of you, you wouldn't even lock your doors, would you, at some point in your life? You're like, there's no need to lock my doors. We live in a safe neighborhood. Today, it's getting closer and closer, isn't it? The evil of the world. And sometimes it's just right here as much as anywhere at times. We lock our door. But do you realize that spiritually speaking, in the Lord, by trusting Jesus, just like Noah and his family, by trusting Jesus, we have life and we have safety. Are you thankful for that? John chapter 3, verse 16. I think you probably know this verse. Notice what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and I, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, talking about in hell, but have everlasting life. If you've trusted Jesus, you're going to live forever with a brand new body. These old bodies ache. These old bodies just don't quite move around as good as they used to. I remember at junior camp, some of these supposed athletes were talking. You know what? I got a little bit upset. You know, they wasn't necessarily listening to what I was saying and everything, and I couldn't help myself. You know what I said? I said, you know what? You athletes, I bet back in my day I could outrun you in a dash. They looked at me and said, I doubt it. I mean, looking at me now, you're like, I doubt it. But I was pretty fast. I was one of the faster guys, not the fastest, but one of the maybe top five, at least top 10 on my team, pretty fast. But guess what? I'm not so sure I'm that fast anymore. If I thought I was, I'd have challenged them and said, let me show you. But I didn't want to be embarrassed. We slow down, don't we? John, you're the only one that slows down in this bunch. But you know, someday we're going to have bodies that don't slow down. We're going to have bodies that don't grow old. As I jokingly say, my body is going to look like those bodybuilders. You know, Peg, that's not that funny. No, I'm joking. I don't think we will have a bodybuilder body, but it'll be a whole lot better than what we got, right? And it's everlasting life. Just like Noah and his family said, we trust you, God, we're going to get on the ark. I mean, that was a pretty major inconvenience, don't you think? Building the ark for 120 years, preaching salvation, at least Noah did that, and then getting all, God brought the animals, I'm convinced, to the ark, but getting all the food and the provision and all, that was a lot. But guess what? They got to enjoy safety and they got to enjoy life. When we trust Jesus, we do it by faith. We put our faith and trust in what he did for us, we get life, everlasting life. You know, and I don't like it when people say, well, someday we'll have everlasting life. That's not true. That is not a true statement. If you know Jesus, you have everlasting life right now. You're not going to die. When you breathe your last, guess where you're going to end up? If you know Jesus, you're in the presence of the Lord immediately. I'm thankful to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. I'm glad about that, aren't you? And then eventually my old body that's in the ground will burst out of that ground if I'm already dead before the rapture, and I'll get a brand new body meeting that soul and spirit in the rapture of the church. But I'll have everlasting life, and I will have everlasting safety, just like Noah and his family had on the ark. You know, in Revelation chapter 21, let me read a few verses. This is really good stuff, really good news stuff. I have to say, I enjoy preaching the good stuff more than I do the hard stuff, but you got to preach all of it. But the good stuff. This is really good stuff for the saved and for the lost. Because we're saying the lost don't have to stay lost. And for the saved, we know where we're going to spend eternity. Revelation 21, verse 25. A lot could be said about heaven. We could spend a lot of time looking at it. But I want you to pay attention to these verses. Talking about heaven, the New Jerusalem. Notice what it says. In verse 25, it says, and the gates of it, that's the gates of the city, shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. The bottom line is, the gates will never be closed. Again, we lock our doors, we lock our cars, we do. And you know, if you have that moment, did I lock my car? Don't you sometimes? I'm not sure. And then you might scramble back a little bit with that key fob and, you know, lock it, make sure. because we're worried about safety. Can I tell you, in the presence of God in heaven, there are no safety issues. The gates of heaven are open all the time. There is no night in heaven. Notice it goes on. It says, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Aren't you thankful for the safety of God? Aren't you thankful that we've been given eternal life, everlasting life that will not end? You know, I don't particularly like keeping track of time the way we do. We just don't seem to have time for some of the things, right? You know, we say, well, you know, people die, and you're like, man, I wish I'd have seen them more. I wanted to talk to them. I mean, it's like when we go to heaven. Now, you got to keep in mind a few things here. Number one, my last name is Delay. All right. Number two, you got to keep in mind I'm from Southern West Virginia, and we're a little bit laid back in Southern West Virginia. So all this hurry up, not always good for people like me. But do you realize in heaven, I don't think there'll be any hurry up. We'll be praising the Lord, absolutely. I'm not sure of all the things we're going to be doing in heaven or the new earth. To me, it's obvious that we're going to spend some time on the new earth. Why would you make it if we're not going to spend some time on the new earth? Without the pollution and the cell phone tires and the big old windmill turbines and all. We'll have a perfect earth. I mean, I'm sure we'll be able to spend some time. But guess what? You don't have to be looking at your watch every little bit and saying, I got to stay on schedule. I can't talk anymore. I got to run. I got to run here. I got to go here. I got to take this one to this practice, and I got to go here and do this. And, you know, I've got an appointment with the doctor. I think we'll be pretty kicked back in heaven. Again, I know we're going to be praising the Lord. But I think we'll have all eternity to sit down and just talk sometime. You know, hey, no, Paul, what was it like being the Apostle Paul, being basically the first missionary? What was it like when you and Silas were in prison singing after you got beat and then the jailer got saved? You know, what was that like? We'll say, Noah, now tell me about building that ark. Now, was it as hard as what it seems like it was to build that ark? I mean, it took you 120 years to build the thing. Can you imagine? What was it like in the boat when the waves were coming around and the water was coming out of the ground and out of the sky? Was it rocking a lot? Or did God keep his hand on it to keep it steady? What? That would be pretty cool stuff, wouldn't it? I don't know. Some of y'all looking forward to heaven? Some of the faces, I'm not sure you're looking forward to it. But let me tell you, the good news is, if you know Jesus, you got everlasting life. You've got life and you've got safety, just like Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Safety on the ark. Life on the ark. Child of God, you have safety. Nothing to worry about. You will not be stressed in heaven. You'll not be worried about whether your neighbor's going to steal something from you. Think about that. You won't have a worry or a care in the world. Safety, everlasting life. You say, where do you go from here, preacher? Well, we talked about 2 points today, right? We talked about 2 points in particular. Point number one, those who refuse to believe God and enter the ark were totally destroyed. Those who refuse Jesus today and leave this world will be totally destroyed forever in a place called hell. Now that's bad news for the lost. But, life and safety came to Noah and his family. And if you trust Jesus, life, eternal life, and safety will come to the children of God, to the Christian. as I've said before, to the saved, this is good news. Because I know that I'm heading, based upon the Word of God, I know that I'm heading to a place called heaven. You know, I have bad days every once in a while. You ever have bad days? You say, you're a preacher. You're not supposed to have bad days. Yeah, well, I do have bad days. I think everybody has bad days, right? You're not going to have a bad day in heaven. They're all good. And you have that to look forward to because of Jesus. But you know what? Life and safety came to Noah and the family. Life and safety comes to the Christian. That's good news to the lost. That's good news to the lost. Because if you're hearing me today, you can be saved. You can trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know, we as Christians, we don't want one single soul to go to hell. And if you're listening in, or if you're in our presence today, and you're not sure you're saved, you better settle that. Because you don't want to go to hell separated from God forever and ever and ever. The good news is the invitation is still open. Do you know that invitation is going to close sometime? Probably some preacher's going to be before a church somewhere and he's going to give an invitation and one soul's going to come forward and God's going to say, that's enough. Time is done. Time is out. Jesus, go get to church. I hope that today for the saved, we're thankful and we're motivated. Thankful that we know where we're going. Thankful that Jesus saved us and that we're motivated to go tell a lost and dying world without Jesus, who will spend eternity in hell if they don't trust Jesus, that we're motivated to tell them about Jesus and we're motivated to make what's important, important in our lives. I'm telling you, most of us live for that which is temporary. We need to live for that which is eternal, the soul of man. And again, if you're lost, if you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm not sure I'm saved. You may be there today and here today and say, you know what, I know I'm lost. What in the world are you waiting on? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'd encourage you today, if you're with us in the church service, I hope that as we sing here in a moment, you'll come down that aisle if you're lost and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know that I'm going to that place called heaven and not that terrible place called hell. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe he was the Son of God, and I want to ask him to forgive me of my sins and save me. If you want that to happen today, I'll be somewhere down front as we sing. And if you're listening in, guess what? You can do that too from your heart. You can say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross, paid for my sin debt, and resurrected back to life. I confess Jesus as my Savior. You can do that to God in prayer right where you are whenever you're listening to it. And guess what? When you mean it from your heart, that's the crucial part. You can become a child of God. You can be saved. And you don't have to worry anymore about hell. All you got to do is look forward to heaven. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. We don't have to preach our opinion. We don't have to preach the current events of the day. But Lord, we have your Bible. We pray that today we've rightly divided the word of truth as we've looked at similarities between the story of Noah's Ark and salvation. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never trusted Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll trade their eternal destiny from hell to heaven, we pray. Give them the boldness to step out. Same with anyone who may be listening in, says, I'm lost. I pray that they'll call out to you for salvation, even today, and forgiveness. And Lord, may each one of us that say, I know I'm a Christian, Lord, may we be grateful. And Lord, may we be motivated to make that which is important to you important to us. We pray this in Jesus' name.